I'm going to start reading here Galatians chapter 3 and verse 5. For he therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law, by the hearing of faith. Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. So then they which be of faith are blessed with who? Faithful Abraham. All right, we talk about living in supernatural. So now what we talked about in the word of the kingdom, come on back to Matthew's gospel, chapter 13. And Jesus was talking on principles here. And what I said to you last time is that what Jesus taught were principles. Were principles. We'll look at that in just a minute. It says, read this. Verse 10, and the disciples came to him and said to him, why speakest thou unto us or them in parables? And he answered and said unto them, because it is given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. Mysteries are something beyond knowledge, beyond natural knowledge, beyond human comprehension. And we went on down to verse 18. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which receives seed by the wayside. So we said there's a word of the kingdom. If there's a word of the kingdom of God, then there's a word of the kingdom of darkness. And what we said, there is another kingdom out here called the kingdom of darkness. And over in Matthew chapter 12, it says in verse 25, and Jesus knew their thoughts and said to them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. If Satan cast out Satan, he is divided against himself. How then shall his what? Kingdom stand. So Satan has a kingdom. And that kingdom that he has is a kingdom based on principles, all right, but they're principles of darkness. The Bible says over in Proverbs chapter 14, there's a way that seems right to a man, but the end of that way is the way of death. So there are things that seem right, seem like people are doing them right, but the Bible talks also about wisdom, and it says here in Matthew chapter 11, verse 19, the Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, behold, a man gluttonous and a wine bibber, a friend of publicans and sinners. But wisdom is justified of her children. It's Jesus talking now. And he is saying that if you are operating in wisdom, you're going to have proof of it by results. And he says, hey, if you don't believe me, believe the works. He said, I'm operating in the wisdom of God. And what we said is that that wisdom is another level of wisdom. The Bible says the wisdom of this world is earthly, sensual, and devilish. And you'll see that it really appeals to the senses. And that's why over in Proverbs chapter 7 talks about this woman who sat by the corner and lured this man in. But it was talking about she is loud. And meaning not so much in volume, but in terms of its appeal, that it appeals to the senses. And unfortunately, because of Adam's sin, most of the world is sense-driven. And they're looking at things that appeal to their senses and in their flesh. And as a result of that, have gotten into some real tough places. Now, with this, as I was talking last time, we were talking about principles and being principle-centered. And we said that we must return to principles. We must return to principles because this principles of the kingdom of God are needed and needful for us to be able to avoid the principles of the kingdom of darkness, of course, but for us to get the results that we want to get anywhere we go. Principles are different from practices. Practices, like I said, are really something that change. They change from place to place. Well, we practice this over here. We practice that over there. This is what we do over here. And that's because if people have been in that area, that's where we've gotten political correctness, if you will. That's why we've got situation ethics, if you will. And all these things that says, hey, wait a minute, you know, it's right here, but it's not right over there, but it's right again over here. No, if it's wrong, it's wrong. And so we're going back to principles. So we went to a scripture involving principles or the foundation of a thing. Let's go back to Psalm in chapter 11, please. And over in Psalm chapter 11, in Psalm chapter 11, in verse 3, it says, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? If the foundations be destroyed. So what do we say principles are? Simple definition, it's the cause or source of something. It's the origin of a thing, of anything. And it's that thing through which, from which other things proceed, a principle. And that principles are very important, that we give our children principles in terms of raising them, in terms of business, there are principles. In terms of running your body, there are principles by which if you want to stay healthy. And you violate those, and all of a sudden you have some problems. There's the mind and thinking and your thought life, or how you have to manage your mind. There's some principles there. In terms of money, being successful, you'll find that billionaires, if you go right across the board and look at all your billionaires, there are some principles that each one of them had that are exactly the same that put them where they are. They're success principles. A lot of people try to teach on that. And if you just get the principles of success, it'll lead you to success. And also in relationships, there are principles. We talked about marriage and the family in terms of raising children and so forth. And there is no exception to the rule in terms of principles. That when you see happy families, of course, you see how they've handled indication of how they handle principles, because you can't fake a happy family. And so we came and said we need to get into alignment with those principles. So as people now are coming into the kingdom, Jesus was teaching principles. Now, as we look at this, we talked about our lives in terms of how God is dealing with us in putting us together as men and women. Now, I won't go back to it. I think I'll go back to it next time. But what we said is that, first of all, the kingdom of God is not a democracy. We said that it is not run by voting in what my opinion is. So when you come into kingdom, you have to submit to that understanding that it's run by principles and by laws. You can't have a government without laws. And it's run like that. And Jesus came to introduce this new kingdom. And as people submitted themselves to this new kingdom or this new government, then they are operating then on a superior system based on superior principles. So these principles are superior. Now, they may look like they're not, but they only look like they're not because things of God are foolish to the natural man. So he has principles here, and that we talked about the principle of love, of truth, of integrity, of all these things, and principles of divine principles of holiness, and so forth and so on. Now, these are principles. Now, like I said, the principles of darkness may seem like they are more powerful, but they're not. that you can't, the enemy will try to get a person to overcome evil with evil. But God says you overcome evil with good. And so we talked about that. Now that's the old foundation, see, and that foundation has not been covered up. And that's why people don't know who they are, really. They're kind of running around, and next thing you know, they get into relationships, and relationships are fractured because they don't know who they are in the first place. God didn't bring Adam to Eve when Adam was 50%. He brought Adam to Eve because Adam was whole. He brought Adam to Eve because Adam didn't, he was unique. He was made one. He was one with God. He was the original. He was a designer, a creation. He didn't have someone else that looked like him. And I got news for you. Neither do you. There. When God made you, think about this. When God made you and I, he broke the mold. He didn't make another one that looked like it. And nobody else had your fingerprints. Nobody else has quite the gifting that you have. He just made it and broke it. That was it. You were unique. You're the only one like you on the face of the earth. You're the original. There's no one coming after you. You see, the reason, one of the reasons for your value is, other than being a child of God, is that you are a designer creation. The one thing that makes stuff cheap is when you mass produce it. So you just mass produce all these things, put them out there. But wait till that designer coat comes. And all of a sudden, you got to pay $5,000 for that coat. You can't get it for $5. You follow what I'm saying? So my point to you is that is one of the things that should lift people's esteem, is that they are unique. And when people don't know that, then part of that that is factored into that relationship. They're looking for somebody else to complete them. They're already complete. The reason why Adam could get Eve is because Adam was complete. Adam didn't know he needed Eve. That was God's idea. I'm saying the time to get married is when you don't figure you need to. I mean, because you got everything together. You roll it. See, marriage is a miracle. What God puts together. See, God will drop the desire in a person's heart. When it's time now, he'll drop the desire. Huh? Listen, folks, I wasn't going to preach. That wasn't on my radar. Preachers, But when God got ready, he can drop a desire in your heart. I'm telling you now. Folks, God hardened Pharaoh's heart. He knows how to soften one too. That's for a lesson on down the line. All right, and so a lot of times people don't know their value. When they don't know their value, then they begin to take themselves and misuse themselves. When the purpose of a thing is not known, abuse is inevitable. And they start misusing themselves. Now, what they do is try to get a relationship to make up for that. And that's an accident going somewhere to happen. It's like the man who came in. Remember, he came in, talk about two ticks and no dog. Do you remember that? Well, okay. Well, I won't talk about that. Most people are operating out of emotion. And so what we're talking about, let's just say we talked about some principles. And so what we talk about, one, is love. We started with love. But we said that the love that God gives us is found in Romans 5:5. I won't go there. But it is agape. Now, what kind of love is agape? What? Unconditional love. Unconditional love doesn't do things for you so that you can do something for me. That's not unconditional love. And we found that the love of God is a decision. It's a decision. It's a decision that people have to make. And you have to make a decision to do something. God decided to love you. He didn't decide to love you because you can love him back. He decided to love you in spite of. He loved you when you were cursing him. Am I right? Let's go over here and look at Daniel. Daniel chapter 6, please. Now, see, relationships based on feelings and circumstances. I'm going to get married because it's hard to pay my rent. No, listen, don't laugh. That's where we are, folks. Telling you. I can give you a number of them. Let's see. I think I wrote some of them down here somewhere. Yeah, I got some somewhere. Praise God. Let's see. Married because of inferiority. They got married because of spite. They're going to spite another person, another woman, or another man, so they're going to get married to this other man. Married because of social pressure. Married because of loneliness. Married because of infatuation. Oh, I can go on. I can go on. Now, thank God we got a God that can turn everything around. But I'm just letting you know now, there's some marriages out there, boy. There's some weird reasons for marriage. I married her because she reminds me of my cousin. Oh, boy. Okay. Now, watch this. This is Daniel chapter 6, verse 4. This is Daniel now in a kingdom which is without God. Verse 4. Then the presidents and princes sought to find an occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could not find none occasion or fault for as much as he was faithful, say faithful. Neither was there any error of fault found in him. So you remember the last time we said the first love you got to have is you got to love God. Amen. Didn't we tell you that? Amen. See, a lot of people trying to love other folk and they don't love God. Well, you got to love God first because he gives you the love with the love of the folk. There's a guy came in and preached. He said he went out on a picnic, and when he got out on the picnic, they look in the basket. And they looked in there, and they said, where's the love? He said, oh, I thought you brought the love. He said, no, I thought you brought the love. And that's what he was talking about, two ticks and no dog. And so look what he says in verse 5. Then said these men, we shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God. Now he's going to locate how much he loves his God, because you got to love God first. Then these presidents and princes assembled together to the king and said this unto him, or thus unto him, King Darius, live forever. All the presidents of the kingdom, the governors and the princes, the counselors and the captains, have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask petition of any god or man for 30 days, save thee, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish the decree and sign in writing that it be not changed according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not. Now, that's a principle. The principle is that in the kingdom of God, when Daniel in chapter 2 interpreted Nebuchadnezzar's dream, and he saw a man whose head was gold, arms and chest of silver, belly and thighs of brass, legs of iron, feet of iron and clay. All of those were not only this man, but all of those were kingdoms. But there were not only kingdoms, all of those were characteristics of the kingdom of God. One, the head of gold, Babylonian, meaning dictatorship, meaning that there was a one ruler. Next was Medo-Persian. The Persians, as you know, took out the Babylonians, and they were the next dynasty that came. But they have a rule of law. They have in this thing that once they make the law, it's made for everybody. Everybody's got to come under it. So once you bind something, whatever you bind on earth is bound in it. Lord have mercy. Okay. All right. So verse 9, wherefore King Darius signed in writing the decree. Now, when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house and his windows being open and his chamber toward Jerusalem. He kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and did what? Prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. Then they came near and spake before the king concerning the king's decree. Hast thou not signed a decree that every man that shall ask a petition of any god or man within 30 days, save thee, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions? The king answered and said, the thing is true, according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which authoreth not. Glory to God. So isn't it interesting? There was a law made, and the law was made against Daniel's God. So it's made against the kingdom. But the kingdom is what you are under. Once you come into the kingdom, then you're under the commander of that kingdom, and he makes the laws. Right? Y'all with me so far? So notice here, Daniel, he had to choose which way he's going to go. And he did not leave his trust and love for his God. We read you over in John chapter 14 and verse 21. We read you a scripture. We said this. We said, he that has my commandments and keepeth them, this is the one that loves me. And he that loves me shall be loved of my who? Father. And I'll love him and I'll do what to him? I'll manifest myself to him. So it's interesting, the principles of the world at a glance there seem like they're more powerful. But the principles of the kingdom are higher and more powerful. And those principles are what God wants us to adhere to. Principles of the kingdom. Now, I'm still talking about this whole idea of marriage, but you got to come in here because if you don't understand authority, it won't mean much. And so now, as we do this, here's Daniel. Now they're going to throw him in the lion's den. And he threw him in there. And notice the lion wouldn't eat him. I want to say more than that. Couldn't eat him. Couldn't touch him. Why? Because he was under authority. Say amen. Amen. Now, I'm teaching it from a supernatural perspective, which I told you that we need to get back to. Over in Ephesians, and Ephesians chapter 5, it says in verse 22, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands. Underline own. As unto who? The Lord. Now don't leave that out, because that's key for you understanding this. So Daniel was going to submit to the king as long as the king's laws agreed with his laws. Got it? And I'm saying the wife submits to the husband as long as what he's talking to her to do is in agreement with God. You got what I'm saying? So here, Daniel rejected it because it didn't agree with his God. Jesus is Lord. He's the one in supreme authority. He said, my kingdom is not of this world. So he's the one that seems to talk. He's the one that's laying down the commandments, what to do and what not to do. And he just told you right there that wives, submit yourself to your own husbands as unto the Lord. And we read you last time where he said, husbands, love your wives. And we showed you where he told you to love your brother. Amen to that. So you can't love your brother and then go behind closed doors and talk about your brother. See, you have just come out from under authority and the lions may get you. That's what it said in the Bible. It said in this book of Psalms, it says that he that slanders his brother in private shall be cut off. This thing is rough, brothers and sisters. Now, my point to you is Daniel refused, thrown in the lion's den. I want to make a point here. As he was thrown in this lion's den, the lion couldn't touch him. So, Daniel, when the king came to rescue him after all night in the lion's den. Now understand, there was no Commonwealth Edison in that lion's den. There was no lights up in there anywhere. There's this thing, black dark. Look at verse 21. This is the king when he came called for Daniel. Then Daniel said to the king, King what? Live forever. Come on. Say, what did he say? Live forever. Does this sound like the man was mad? All right. What we took you to is Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. Come on over there, please. But the fruit of the Spirit is love. Keep going. Joy. Keep going. Peace. Keep going. Long suffering. Keep going. Gentleness, keep going. Goodness, come on. Faith, keep going. Go on. Meekness, come on. Temperance, against such there is no law. All right, go back to the previous verse. All right, now, love. Love your enemies. Might seem like that's not going to work, but that principle is much more powerful than hate your enemy. Got it? Now, if you really love people, you won't manipulate them. Because manipulation is a principle of darkness. Step on somebody to get to where you want to go to. Y'all with me? So now, I'm showing you that the first thing is love. Look, Daniel carried no bitterness. All right? Just keep that scripture in mind because I'm coming back to that. Daniel came out of the lion's den saying, long live the king. Sound like to me he had a little joy. Come on now. It's easy to be joyful when somebody just bought you a new Cadillac. But I'm talking about when you're going through, homegirl. And I'm talking about maintaining your joy. These here are fruit of the Spirit. These are supernatural dispositions that God has for anybody. Say amen. Amen. Now watch this. In this, look at Hebrews chapter 12, please. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of what? Bitterness springing up, what does it do? Trouble you, and thereby many will be defiled. They said, watch out now, because you got to follow peace. I just showed you that. And holiness. I told you that was a principle of the superior kingdom of God. And it says, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God. Lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many will be defiled. So somebody, husband, wife, gets offended. Now, the Bible says, take no thought, saying. And we said that was anxious thought. So you can leave a thought or take it. Somebody just did something wrong to you. You can either leave it or take it. And thoughts are things. They're seed just like a word. So it comes into the mind and the heart, and if properly nurtured, talking about a little bit, it will water it, and roots will start to grow down, and plants will start to grow up. The plant is designed to bring forth fruit. Now, why? Because it wants to defile other folk. In other words, it wants to bring forth fruit so that somebody else will eat it. And the seed is in itself. It's in the fruit. So when they take a big bite of the fruit, the seed comes in. So somebody gets mad at the husband and then tells Shaquita. No. Can I talk? And what does she do? She eats it first. And then she's mad. Now, she doesn't even know the man. But he can tell if he ever come into their environment, Shaquita is just as mad as his wife is. But notice, she told girlfriend, and girlfriend then told Big Mama, many be defiled. Are you following what I'm saying? Now understand, Joseph never said a word about Mrs. Potiphar all while he was in jail. Not a word, because if you talk about it, you sow it. That's a principle now. So I got to let no corrupt communication, come on, help me now, come out of my mouth. I got to follow the principles of the kingdom. I don't need to spend all day talking about that. See, somehow emotionally you think it does you some good. Man, I'm telling you, I didn't like to talk about it. And really, what it's helping to do is you're not getting healed that way. You got to go get the word of the kingdom to get healed. And ain't nothing in there about Lucretia. Or Shaquita. Ain't that it? That's not in that Bible. Okay. Y'all follow me. So I got to get rid of that. I got to make sure that I get that seed out of my life, because I don't want it in there, because that seed can hinder some good crop from coming up. So I gotta get and start speaking good things. Now, if I know they can't hurt me, ain't no use in running them down. They can't stop me. Well, Bill, once you know they're talking about you, they talked about Jesus. Well, you know they really don't like you. Your cousin don't like you. But see, we majoring on the minors.
Right, right.
And that's just like the devil try to get you over here in something that really can't stop you anyway, because it's God before you. There ain't a loud bucket mouth nobody that can stop you from going where you're going. So why are you going to major on it? You're in another kingdom. But I'm about to make a statement now that might be controversial. But I'm a controversial preacher. That lion couldn't touch him. Now you know that lion was hungry, because as soon as they pull him out, they push some people in there who accused him, and they ate them all. The Bible tells us about it. Bones and all. I mean, lions had a day. I noticed when Abraham brought his wife down there to Gerar, and Abimelech saw her, and he told Abimelech, she's my sister, he took her in his palace. That night, the Lord came to Abimelech in a dream. Here's what he said: you're but a dead man. You got another man's wife. Abimelech broke out in a cold sweat. Do you hear what I'm saying? I'm saying that you have a covenant of protection. That, if you know your covenant, that man cannot physically abuse you. I'm going to just say that. I'm going to just lay that out there. I told you I'm a controversial preacher. You got angels around you. I don't care who he is. They are all around you right now. You declare the word of the Lord. You can't touch me, because God is all around me. Now, try to touch me and see what you're going to get. Touch not my anointed and do my prophets no harm. Can't touch me. How you going to touch me? Say amen to that. And that hadn't been preached. I'm not saying stay in there and get beat up in some abusive thing. I'm not saying that. I'm saying, but if you know your rights in this covenant, say amen to that. A lion can't touch you. A disease can't touch you. Lack can't touch you. And a man can't touch you. I got to preach it, because somebody got to preach up in here. We've been hearing too many watered down, souped up Kool-Aid sermons, and you need to hear the truth. Straight with no chaser. This I'm teaching this from a supernatural perspective. How you gonna touch me? You know whose I am? That woman is just as much a part of God's family as that man is. Oh yeah, God made him from the ground, and God didn't go to the ground but once. But he made him from the ground because God put some things in him that he was going to be the foundation of the family being built. Say amen. Amen. The foundation of society is not the family. The foundation of society is a man. I'm going to preach this. And that's why we got to get the men straight. That's why you see men ushering around in here. I'm going to give men something to do. I'm going to let women see some men for a change. We got to get the foundation right. We got to get them all turned the right way and get some word in them so they'll be able to give some good advice. Say amen to that. They'll be able to set up some boundaries for their families and be able to check their kid when that kid starts rolling out that house in nothing at all. And you say, you ain't going out of here in that. Just get on back up there and get something on. Just go on back up there and get some. Cut that music off. Don't play that up in here. That's a man. But when you let anything go, we call that a playboy. No, I just kidding. But anyway, my point to you is, no. There's a role for a man to play. He's the protection arm for the family. He's the providing arm for the family. Don't say, I ain't no jobs out there. That's why I can't get no job. You didn't hear me talk on the word of the kingdom about my wife's job. There were no jobs. That doesn't make any difference to kingdom citizens. We gonna make a job. We gonna get the word of God and make a job. Stop letting there's no jobs come out of your mouth. As long as you let that come out of your mouth, you will have what you say. Now, I know sometimes people don't like me to talk like this because they're used to them watered down, them excuses and so forth. We've taken that all away. I'm not being hard on anybody. I'm just taking you past all that mess that's been preached or taught that it is not the fullness of the gospel. We're going to tell you all of it up in here. Your marriage going to be made whole up in here. Say amen to that. And we're going to talk about it all, folks. Say amen to that. Y'all supposed to have fun with each other. Amen. Supposed to have it so, I'll show you scriptures in Proverbs and Ecclesiastes. Supposed to have it so the man can't wait to get home. It's in there. Man, with the society going like it is, he can't wait to get out of home. So, man, I got to get up out of here. No, that's not the attitude we're supposed to have. That's your woman. And that's your man. Oh, here come my man. He don't have no muscles, but tell him he got some. Yeah, you call him things that be not, that though they were. Tell him you look like Thor, man. I know his belly's sticking out, but tell him, praise God. Look at that washboard there. Look at that. You got a keg there, brother. All right. Now, all right. We're going to talk about that, what women like, what men like, so forth. We want to go into this. I want to lay a new foundation. I want to let you know that whatever situation you've got, no matter how bad it is, there's still hope. There's still hope. The Bible says in Job chapter 14, one scent of water can bring something that's dead back to life. That water that they were talking about is the washing of the water of the Word of God. Bring it back to life. Say amen. And give them new desires. Amen. Make them start acting like teenagers. Amen. Y'all know what I mean by that. I mean, new, like, dude, the love is new again. Say, so what happened to this? God did it. But you've been dealing and seeing a lot of the statistics and papers and so forth where God is out of it. And they're trying to do it with the intellect. Folks, we're coming into a time. Look what it says here. Revelation 12:12, please. This is the last days. Therefore, rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe unto the inhabitants of the earth. That's us here. And of the seal of the, and of the sea, For the devil is come down unto you having great wrath, because he knows that he has but a short time. He's coming after that marriage, because marriage is holy. And he is unholy. Wants to destroy it, especially if it's a good one. God gave you a good man, good woman. Now Eve was made by God. Now true enough, she went for that enemy's deception. But there was nothing wrong with her. She was made for him, but she was innocent. So I told you last time, hey, I'm going from New York to California in an airplane. You set the autopilot and you think it's going straight, but it's not. You check those things down there and that airplane is constantly making corrections. You messing up in your marriage, you constantly making corrections, but you're going to get to California. You don't get to that good man. 90% of the travel of an airplane from New York to California is corrections. 90% of it. Well, that shows you how much correction sometimes we have to make. You blew it. Why did you blow it? Because you didn't hear God, because you got emotional, got so forth. Step back and apologize and go again. Go again. Now let's just finish up these in Galatians. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. Just look at that again. How we doing? We doing okay? Oh, you're going to make it. Praise God. Now, I know you messed up the first five marriages, but this one we're going to make this one work. Look what it says. But the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love. That's the first thing you got to have. You got to forgive them, folks. Got to forgive them. Got to forgive them. You said, well, I just can't forgive. That's why you can't. Because you say you can't. Say, I can forgive. Everybody, I can forgive. Anybody that's ever hurt you, you can forgive them. No matter how bad it's been and so forth. Look at the next one. Joy. Wow. The Bible says through joy, we draw water out of the well of salvation. You know what that means? That means if you keep your joy, God will give you a revelation of how to get out. Keep your joy, though. God is not partnering with bitterness and grumbling. He doesn't partner with it. You don't hear his voice. He doesn't partner with strife. Settle it with your adversary quickly. Peace. He was asleep in that lion's den. I don't care what's going on in that house. You can sleep. Next, long suffering. Lord have mercy. All these are supernatural dispositions now. You can't do this. Girlfriend, I can't see how you can put up with that. You say, you ain't supposed to see it because you're not in the kingdom. I'm supposed to see it. And I'm telling you, God knows. And I told you, I used that example of Smith. Did I share that with you? Smith, man, that was a bad situation she had. I mean, he wasn't physically abusing her, but it was mental. You are not going to that church tonight. She said, Smith, I have to go. I'm leading the prayer group. You are not going to that. If you go out that door, I'm going to lock it and you will not get back in. Man, she went out that door, came back and slept. The door was locked. She slept right there, pulled a coat over and slept right there on that door. Boom. You open the door in the morning. She felt, oh, Smith, would you like some breakfast? And there's breakfast. Not long after that, the desire came in his heart to preach. And he became the most powerful apostle since the Apostle Paul. What? She had one on her hands that it took long suffering to break the power of the devil and put a person in the ministry that the devil has feared all over the world. You don't know who you got on your hands. So what am I saying? There's some situations that unless we use some of these supernatural, divine, ordained gifts, talents, abilities, dispositions, we can't get out of them. That's what it takes. It takes the wisdom of God for you to get out of this situation. Last place, let's go to Ruth, the book of Ruth. How are we doing? Doing okay? Oh, it's going to be all right. Say everything's going to be all right. It's going to be all right. Yeah, you don't have no problem. All you need is faith in God. Everything's going to be all right. Book of Ruth. Remember now, decisions that are based on feelings and circumstances can be very detrimental because they tend to lead you away from God. I know what girlfriend said, but what did God say? You hear what I'm saying? Folks, I had no intention on preaching, but aren't you glad I did? All right, book of Ruth. This is where a certain man who was a Jew went to sojourn in the country of Moab. Now, Moab was some real interesting folks. I mean, they sacrificed folks in Moab. I mean, it was Moabites were really heathen. So he went to live there. He had a wife named Naomi, and he had two sons. And what happened was the father, Elimelech, died. Verse 3. And verse 4 says that his sons left, took two wives of the women of Moab. And he took those wives, and verse 5, and Mahlon and Chilion died also before them, and the woman was left of her two sons and her husband. All right? Her two sons and her husband had died. That's what it meant. So now she had a thought to return to her own country. That was Bethlehem, Judah. She was a Jew. She was not a Moabite. So what she said, hey, daughters-in-law, look, your husbands are dead. My husband dead. Why don't you go on back to your own country? And let me go on back to my country. Verse 14. And they lifted up their voice and wept again. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clave unto her. Orpah was the other daughter-in-law. She kissed her and went on back to her country. But Ruth stayed with her. Verse 15, and she said, behold, thy sister-in-law is gone back to her people and unto her gods. Return thou after thy sister-in-law. And Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee or to return from following after thee, for whether thou goest, I will go. And where you lodge, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God, my God. Where thou diest, will I die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part thee and me. You've heard it before at weddings. Do you vow to be with this person in sickness and in health until death do you part? I do. Love is a decision. Doesn't make me any difference if they get some disease and become wheelchair bound. I'm there for the long haul. That's not going to turn me around at all. So Naomi, where you go, I'm going to go. Where you lodge, I will lodge. And notice it takes commitment. And you got to make your mind up on the front end. Don't wait till the problem comes and then try to decide. No, that was decided when we said our vows. Me and you, all the way. Not based on circumstances. Not based on what I think about it. But what happened? You know the story. She was out there gleaning with her mother. And out there, gleaning means the rich people had farms, but around the edges, they were supposed to leave a little of the crop so that the poor would feel little shame. They weren't receiving welfare in them days. You go out and go and work and pick the crop. So she was gleaning. That's what poor people did. But one day, a man named Boaz came, who owned everything. And this is what he said. Who is that woman? I'm telling you, God will drop a desire in somebody's heart for you. Say amen to that. Boaz, the richest man in the county. So this woman, a Moabite, but she switched sides. She came on God's side. Notice, she got blessed, got to be the wife of Boaz. And live good for the rest of her days. But notice what did it. She was tested. Leave me. Go to your own country. She said, Who else was tested? Oh, that was a man named Elisha. Elijah says, stop following me. Go on to your, go on. Go. You're free now. Go on. Don't, you don't need to serve me anymore. Go on. Nope. I'm going to be with you. And when you leave, I'm going to get a double portion of what you got. Folks, commitment allows the power to flow in your life. That's all I got for today. Just give the Lord a praise, please. I don't say in my marriage ceremonies in sickness and in health, because you're not going to be sick. But I'm telling you, be willing to hang in there for the long haul. And watch this. Don't hang in there sad. Drop back and get a little joy. Because you remember, watch this. When Jonah had some joy, notice as long as he was bellyaching, he stayed in the fish's belly. But when he dropped back and started praising God full of joy, the fish spit him out. I'm telling you, you might be in the fish's belly right now. All you got to do is lift your hands and give God some praise and watch you are coming out. This is your year.